This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murrah. They're the official Grant and Danny show sponsor. They will help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. They did an awesome job, made my parents feel real comfortable and happy with what they got done. So I will send anybody their way. kmlawyers.com. We welcome in our Richmond audience for the next 3 hours. Danny will be back tomorrow, guys, but you got me with you for the next three. If you're in and around D.C. and the DMV on 106.7, we're going up till 6:30 tonight, the normal 4.5-hour show. But AM 910, FM 105.1, welcome aboard, and thanks for making the show part of your day. In 1 hour at 4 o'clock, John Fogerty tickets. We're giving away a pair to kick off the week right at 4, so make sure you're listening at that time. I tweeted about this yesterday. I can't believe how much divisiveness there is on this. I thought this was just a fairly seamless take. I didn't think I was starting any kind of a fight on social media. The Batman came out 2 years ago this week, starring Robert Pattinson. People sleep on that movie. It is so good. I watched it again last night just to make sure I was remembering everything correctly. Here's what it's guilty of. It is guilty of coming after the greatness of the Christopher Nolan trilogy. That's the crime it committed. And that, by the way, I'm not doing a bit. That is my number one trilogy as far as any movies at anywhere, not just comic book movies, but period. I think Batman Begins, criminally underrated. Dark Knight. And then Dark Knight Rises, my least favorite of the three, but still very good. Those three movies, as a trio, I think as good as it gets in terms of trilogies ever. I won't tell you what my number two is, because you're all going to get angry. But it rhymes with Schmighty Schmucks. It's about hockey, okay? But the Batman, as a standalone Batman movie, just silly. And the character's way different than the Christian Bale character. So everyone wants to comp them, but they're different anyway. If you haven't watched it, it's streaming. I think it's on Netflix for another couple of days, so you can grab it there. But 2 years this week, which makes me wonder, Darius, maybe you can dig on this, or Ryan, you can find this. When is the next one coming out? We got an awesome teaser right at the end of the movie of what lies ahead. Kind of, you walk out of the theater wanting more. It's been 2 years. I haven't heard a word.
We got an official release date of October 2nd, 2026. So I got to wait a couple more years.
I mean, that is outrageous.
Yeah.
When you said October, I was like, okay, it should have been in the summer. But this fall, that's fine. I'll be watching Drake May sling the pill on Sunday, and then I'll go to the theater on Tuesday when there's no game that night. 2 years from now. Insanity. How much time does it take, man? Figure this out. All right, let's get back into what Austin Eckler had to say. He thinks the Commanders could make a very quick turnaround, could be ultra competitive this season. I'm not buying that. Here's the path, though. Your quarterback's great. So if they take Jaden Daniels, and he's exceptional, and he does in Washington what he did at LSU, and he just changes everything, okay, you got 9 wins, it's week 18, and you're playing for the playoffs. If you take the guy that I would take, Drake May, and he just lights it up and right away looks like Justin Herbert in his rookie season, which I wouldn't bank on. I think it'll be year two before really he starts to look like the star that I think he's going to be. But I think he's going to show a ton right away. I think he'll be comfortable and make a bunch of big boy throws. But that's the only way, man. You get the quarterback right, and the fact that all of a sudden you got some one-year kind of minimal contract type guys, duct tape, patchworking the rest of the roster, it matters a lot less because you're good at the quarterback position, so every week you got a shot, and they win you a couple of games. But I want to see where you guys are leaning in terms of your expectations after 18 free agents, 16 external have been brought in. Linebacking position, defensive end position, specifically fixed, or at least for the moment, much better. Cornerback way deeper, still could draft there. Really, the only spot they've neglected to do anything at, and it's one of the most important positions, is left tackle, which I think is just a tell that that's going to be a major priority for them in the draft. But they have done almost nothing. We should get into what they should do at left tackle coming up in a few minutes. Let's go to Jay in D.C. on Grant and Danny to get things started. What's up, Jay?
What's up? What's up, Grant? I agree with you on The Batman and on Mighty Ducks. Love that movie.
Let's go.
I agree with you on this one. Yeah, I think we have a 7-10 type season. I think we play every team tough unless we get a good QB and QB plays well. I think I would have said what Eckler said. Eckler's interview was great. He said everything I would have said if I was him. He's only in for like 2 years, so I would want to win as well. Plus, like, it really hyped me up. Like, as a fan, it hypes you up. But what people don't really understand is, like we had like 27 free agents. Like, we only, like, there were only like 24 to 24 players on this roster before the free agency started. So they had to get at least 16 players if we only have 9 like draft picks. You
sure,
know?
But what you and know like this, Jay, doing. I'm going to let you keep going. But what normally happens is you sign a lot of those guys back, and they didn't. That's what's different is they basically said, yeah, we don't want any of those guys back. We'll just go get, you know, all those back of the roster types will be from outside the building, which is abnormal.
I heard some reports that when they looked at the roster, they didn't really like anybody. So I can't corroborate
those reports, but I would say that their actions agree with wherever you heard that.
Yeah, yeah. But I think they did a great job. Like, they brought in people that are familiar, so we don't have like a William Jackson type situation again. So I really appreciate that. And Grant, yo, it's one thing you like missed last week. Like, you completely missed this.
What we got?
I know why. Like, did you see the Tennessee LSU game where the player's brother jumped out of the stands onto the court, and like he had to get arrested. He almost like attacked a girl, and like that's all you always bring those up when they come up.
Hold on,
you didn't
back.
Bring it up last week.
So, this was women's or men's basketball?
Women.
Okay, and a guy jumped out of the crowd to engage in a fight in women's basketball?
Yes. You got it. If you didn't see it, go ahead and look it up. It was 3 guys that came out. It was the girl that got pushed, brother, jumped out. It was like a 20-minute delay. It was crazy. So I thought that was going to be all you. I listened
insane.
All week. I was hoping you were going to bring it up.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, that was not on my radar. I probably would have ranted about it. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I don't have all the details. I'm going to check it out, and I'll get back to you on that. But assuming that what you're telling me is correct, and 2 girls got into it on the floor, which, by the way, I feel like maybe that wasn't the game I was watching. I kind of remember that game because I remember after the game, Mulkey, the head coach for LSU, was like, I wish they'd have done it to Angel Reese. I'll tell you that right now. They're not going to come at Angel Reese like that. You're picking a little girl. She's very Southern, very smart, very good basketball coach. That was basically what she said, if I remember correctly. And she's right. Like, they're not coming at Angel Reese. I don't know who they came at. I bet it wasn't Angel Reese. So I remember the specifics a little bit. But the fact that someone came out of the crowd? Come on. That's insane. And they got arrested good, by the way. Did they touch someone?
So I don't recall if he actually made contact with the girl. The funniest part, though, is the girl's size compared to this guy. I don't know what he thought he was going to do. That girl was probably going to step on him.
Oh,
like,
really?
The guy was...
She just would have destroyed him.
She would have destroyed him. She was definitely 1.5 feet taller than
that's
that.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of things need to not happen there, though, if I may. Number one, are you a fan? Sit your ass in the seat. Are you playing in the game? If the answer is no, and you're not eligible to be playing in the game, you're not on either of the teams, get your butt back to where you belong, sir. There's a scene in Knocked Up, which is one of my favorite movies from back in the day growing up, where Seth Rogen, he's having a baby. And he's been like this really mediocre, not really getting it, kind of absentee boyfriend throughout some of this process to have a child. His girlfriend, Katherine Heigl, they had like a one-night stand. She gets pregnant. Most of you have seen the movie. But as the baby's coming, he's really gotten his act together. And so the sister of Katherine Heigl, played by Judd Apatow's wife, Leslie Mann, I think is her name. I could be making that up. She's basically like going to go into the room and help deliver the baby. And she's telling the soon-to-be father, like, sit down. I've got this. You're just an idiot who goes out and parties. And my guy, Seth Rogen, this is like his big coming-of-age moment where he finally just tells her off and tells her to back off. And he's like, the room with the vending machine over there, that's your room. The room where the baby's coming, that's my room. You go over there with the vending machine and get Dunkin' Sticks. That's your room. I'll be the guy with the scrubs on delivering the baby. And it's just like this great scene. But let me make this make sense for you now for a second so you don't think I'm crazy. The place where the people sit down to watch the game and eat popcorn, that's where you go. The place where the girls are shooting and making the baskets and everyone's chasing Caitlin Clark all tournament, that's where they are going to be talking their trash. You go there. They go there. Get off the floor. But no, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. And you're right. That's right up my alley. I would have loved to have gotten angry about that. Let's go to Kevin, who's in Arlington on G&D. Yeah, I love when the listeners know my brand, you know? The things that really grind my gears. Kevin, what's good?
Hey. So, when I go back to the Junkies word association theory with...
Hey, Coach Kev, there's something going on with your phone. I'm going to throw you on hold. Sounds like you're, like, underwater or maybe going to try to get me to pay you money before you do something bad. So I'm just going to let you sort that out. Come on back. We'll get you back to the front of the line. Let's go to Dan in Fairfax on G&D. What's up, Dan?
Grant, good to talk to you again, buddy.
You too, pal.
I Googled you on Letterman on Friday. Just to check it out. It was phenomenal, dude. I loved it. I can't believe you had so much talent even back then.
You
were 12 years
old,
I think.
Was that the Super Bowl one?
Yeah, the Rams and the Patriots.
Yep, Super Bowl 36, Tom Brady's first title.
You asked one guy for his autograph, and then you said, oh, so that's who you are. That was great.
That's right, yeah. That's funny. That was not my joke. I had joke writers with me all week, but that did happen.
Sure. So you got to shake David Letterman's hand and everything. You were very cordial to him. I liked it.
I wasn't going to be mean to him. I can tell you that much. His show, man. Right. Wanted to come back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you as far as the commander. I almost called them the Redskins. But anyway, yeah, I think they could be 8-9, but who knows? Things go their way. It might be 9-8. We don't know what quarterback. I would like to get Jaden Daniels. I know you said you like the other quarterback, Drake May. But yeah,
I like Daniels fine, too. I love May. I like Daniels. I mean, if they take Jaden Daniels, yeah. It's not like I'm going to be upset. You got the Heisman Trophy winner who's got an electric skill set. I just think May is a much safer bet to be awesome.
That's the thing about us in D.C. We never give up on our team, you know. That's the positive attitude you got to have. You know, Danny always calls me Positive Peter. So, yeah, I think we could possibly be 9-8 if things swing our way. But thanks for taking my call, man.
I appreciate you. So there's a couple things about that are hilarious. Number one, he's like, I'm just so positive. We never give up on our team. If the stars align, you know, we could go 9-8. It's just kind of funny. Like, and I'm not joning on you. You're the best, Dan. But, like, normally that call ends with, like, I could see 14-3 in a Super Bowl. You're like, I think it could happen. This could be our year. It could all go our way. We could go 9-8. Sign of the times. But you're right. It's that time of year. I just think if you're a fan, I think it was Jay that said this. You should be really excited to hear Eckler say what he did. I don't think he's just saying words. He's a veteran at 29 picking teams. The possibility of working with a young up-and-coming star quarterback's got to be enticing. That must be appetizing to him. But also, He loves Lynn, which you heard him talk about in that cut we played coming in. That's a good thing. These guys are opting into a building where they're following coaches that they've worked with in the past that they really, really like. It's like if you left your job and went to another market because you liked your boss that much. But I want my veterans to think they can win this season. That's healthy. Kevin in Arlington, what's up?
Hey, sorry about the phone problems.
All good, buddy.
Yeah, I'm very excited about everything that's happened so far, okay? This is not meant to throw water on anything. But, you know, it reminds me of what Trent Green said in 2003, his third year with the Chiefs, with Dick Vermeil. And he said, you know, it takes 3 years to first take out the trash, then layer your team with both solid core guys and game changers to start winning. And, you know, going back to that Quinn word association with the Junkies, when the name Jaden Daniels was brought up, Quinn said game changer. And the reason I just want to emphasize that theme is if you're being honest and you look across our roster, even with all of the good moves in free agency, I don't think you can point to a single position where you say game changer. You know, I mean, Deron Payne, the year he got paid in the Pro Bowl, sure. McLaurin in the past, maybe once. But we don't have game changers. And to be the kind of team we want to be, not a 7-9 win team, but a team competing not only for the division but for the conference championship, we have to do what San Francisco, Philadelphia have done, and that is get a number of game changers. We don't have them. And I think that's the biggest thing that's holding us back and why it's going to take 2 to 3 years minimum. I have total belief in this staff, but we lack impact players. Thank you, Ron, and the Marty Party. You drafted terribly. You didn't spend in free agency. You didn't even trade well.
I was going to say, I mean, Kev, this is what happens. Thank you for the call. On point as always. When you don't draft well, check. When you don't get aggressive in any way in free agency for 3 straight off seasons, check. And when you miss on the very rare occasions where you spend sizable money in free agency, big check, bold in italics, then you're not going to have great talent. They don't. They didn't have a single Pro Bowler. They still probably don't, projecting to this year. I mean, if they have one, it'll be McLaurin, it'll be Allen, it'll be Payne. It'll be one of the really good players that didn't make it last year that has been to the Pro Bowl here before. I don't necessarily think they just brought someone in that's going to make it. Chance Bobby Wagner does, I guess. Chance Frankie Louvu, if he breaks out, does. Otherwise, I'm hard-pressed to find one. I guess if Eckler, you know, catches 80 balls or something and has 11 touchdowns, as you know, 9 as a receiver or something, maybe. But you're talking about some really bullish production that I don't think everyone's counting on to find someone that's going to make the Pro Bowl, which is, coming back to my original point, I'm not expecting them to make that kind of violent leap. Is it possible in the league? Yes. They could have potentially set themselves up to do it, and I'm not saying that would have been the best situation long term, but they could have been the team trading for Brian Burns to go get 14.5 sacks. You know, they could have signed Bryce Huff, who might get him 13.5 sacks this year. They could have traded a fourth for Keenan Allen or, you know, gone out and, I guess they still could, but, you know, they could have traded a couple of twos or a 1 and a 2 for T. Higgins or something. They're not doing that. Like, that's not the market that they are shopping in. They don't want to do that. They're kind of doing the opposite, which is just like, let's incrementally get a little better. So it goes against what Eckler's suggesting. If you look at who they play this year, though, for what it's worth, and it's probably too easy to do this, or too early to do this, I should say, because it's not easy, but the schedule is, it's going to be a last place schedule, and it's not a particularly arduous one in terms of divisions either. Like, they play the AFC North, where you got Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, which is difficult, but otherwise, they got the Falcons. They bring in Cousins. They're hoping to be better, but it's not a game you can't win. They play Carolina. They play Chicago with a rookie quarterback. The Tennessee Titans with a first-year head coach. I mean, I'm counting top of my head here. At home, they host 4 teams that have brand new head coaches, half their schedule. On the road, outside of the division, they're at New Orleans. Dennis Allen's one of the most likely guys to lose his job this year. Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield without his offensive coordinator coming back to earth, probably. The Cardinals, Arizona's not good. So it's not like they're facing a schedule where the expectation is going to be that week in, week out, they're playing juggernauts. 800-636-1067. Do you agree with Austin Ekeler that they could make a pretty huge leap and compete this year? Also, I mentioned that they have not done anything at left tackle. It's the one position where I think you could be frustrated that they've been so inactive. I want to theorize as to maybe why that is and also speculate as to what they might be able to do. Plus, we have not really gotten into the NCAA tournament at all. Bracket is out as of last night, Selection Sunday. We got three locals participating. We'll give you the details on when they're playing and who next on G&D here on The Fan. Off-type season, this campaign. We've not mentioned the locals that got into the NCAA tournament. By the way, not a good year for local college basketball. My goodness. I mean, I'm a Georgetown fan, so I'm not throwing any stones here. Maryland, ugly. University of Virginia almost didn't get in. They lost to NC State as part of one of the craziest runs I've ever seen in a conference tournament right here at Capital One Arena in D.C. And I think they're lucky to have gotten in. Clearly, the committee almost kept them out. They're in a play-in game in the first four out in Dayton. But here's what we're looking at. So among the three, I'm calling them locals here. JMU is the one team that's in outright. They play Wisconsin, 9:40 tip on Friday night at Barclays in Brooklyn as a 5-12 matchup. Everybody's going to be picking JMU. They're 31-3, taking on Wisconsin in that 5-12 seed where you're already hunting upsets because you get, you know, one or two every single year as it is. I think people are going to be all over the Dukes. How about JMU, by the way? There was a time when I was growing up where it was like, that's where a couple kids from your high school went, and they had Jack Brown's, which had good burgers and fried Oreos. And now, one of the best football programs, and as of this year, basketball programs in the state. So Virginia play in first four. Colorado State is the matchup. 9:10 tip off tomorrow night in Dayton. They got a win to get in. If they beat Colorado State, they will play Texas in a 7:10 game. And I could see them being frisky and annoying to deal with just because of the defense that they play. I don't think they score enough or play enough offense still, or just, you know, can come back from deficits in a way where they're going to be able to make a deep run. It just hasn't been that kind of year. But I could see Texas not wanting to have to deal with them, with a coach who's won a national title, you know, program every year in a tough conference that gets to the, generally, doesn't have to play their way in, gets to the tournament, wins a couple games potentially. I know they've had the embarrassing losses that everybody talks about early in tournaments, but they've also cut down the nets here and won a national title. So Virginia, Colorado State tomorrow night. And then before that, 6:40 tip-off in Dayton local time here in D.C. Howard is trying to play their way onto the bracket in a first four game against Wagner. Now, here's the bad news for Howard is that if they beat Wagner, the gift that you get, like, let's all celebrate, high fives, pour water on each other, do all the things we do to celebrate in the locker room, dance with our coach, yay. North Carolina, 116. That's what waits. 6:40. Tomorrow night, a Howard win, and they get to play slash get annihilated by North Carolina. But we've now had two, in the last decade, 16 beat ones. Because obviously Purdue, remember, got upset with their big 7'3" center who, he gets a lot of foul calls for a huge guy, by the way. He's so big, you would think like, when you talk about quarterbacks, Cam Newton or somebody like that, they never get flags thrown when they get hit because they're just so big that the refs like let it go. Edie's the opposite. For a dude who's the biggest on the floor and just mauling guys, I feel like he's at the free throw line constantly. But anyway, we've seen twice now where one seeds have lost. So Howard trying to keep the dream alive and maybe shock the world against North Carolina, but they got to get a win first. Let's go to the phones. Chris has been waiting in Culpeper. He is with us on Grant and Danny. Chris, what do you make of Austin Ekeler saying he thinks the Commanders actually could compete this year?
I'm buying into it, Grant, and I'm kind of disappointed that you're not. About a year ago, but last football season, I spoke with you at the B-Dubs in Culpeper and asked you, I said, hey, do you think we're going to make the playoffs? And you said, yeah, I think we're going to make it. You know, and that's with Sam Howell. So where's your enthusiasm at? I mean, we have the number two pick. Either if we get Jaden Daniels or if we get Drake May, you know, that's the X factor, obviously. But I think we have a shot. On the high end, I feel like we win 11 or 12 games, you know, or on the low end, maybe 8 games. But, I mean, me and my buddies, man, we're all excited about what's going on, and we position ourselves for the draft. We can just take the best available after number two. I feel like the second pick, we can definitely get a decent tackle with that second pick. Where's your enthusiasm, man?
Appreciate you. I'm very enthusiastic. I have not been this excited and happy about the process for the Commanders in many, many years. First of all, the ownership change, which is the most important part of all of this, and we probably don't talk about enough. I mean, that should be brought up every day, maybe every segment. There was never a chance. Like, we're comparing. You're looking at, well, last year versus this year, or 3 years ago, this happened. Dan Snyder was here. You had no chance. Now it's Josh Harris. You do have a chance. It's a binary. It's zero versus one. There is now an opportunity to excel that they didn't have before. So for that reason, I'm more in than I've ever been before. Second most important thing, and this is also very, very significant, you have a real general manager who is an actual talent evaluating football executive who other teams wanted, right? This is not a, hey, I know you, we'll name you the general manager situation. This is not a, hey, we share an agent. No one else is giving you the job. It'll just be a name only. You can be the GM scenario. This is not a, you hired me to be a head coach one time, so now I'm going to give you a job that no one else in the league would give you to be a top-ranking executive in a front office. Debacle. A real-life, actual, revered talent evaluator is the GM here for the first time since Charlie Casserly? I don't know. I mean, you're going back to my childhood for sure. Dan did not want a real GM. He didn't want an empowered executive to run the team. He needed someone that would say yes to him. That's how you get Vinny for a long, long time. That's how you get Bruce Allen, who, you know, and Vinny was more of a, like, brought up in football executive personnel guy. Bruce Allen, we've had Michael Lombardi on the show, one of my favorite guests who worked with him with the Raiders. I mean, the way Lombardi tells the story is when they would actually talk personnel, they would kick Bruce out of the room. He would try to get involved, and they're like, no, dude. You're doing business stuff. You're the team president. Go do the non-football-y things. But he punted at Richmond, so he thought he should be involved. And I'm a football player, too. Let me in on this. They have an actual general manager, man. There's no way for me to even describe with words that'll make sense how happy I am about that. And it's a guy that I've wanted them to hire since his name started being floated in September as possibly being a candidate for Washington. So I'm over the moon about Peters. I like what he's done so far. And we're not going to see eye to eye on everything. Like, he's really smart. I'm not. He's got a vision and a plan, and I'm rocking with it and seeing where it goes. The only thing he's done that I didn't like so far was the head coaching hiring. I would have gone younger and offensive. But look where Dan Quinn's been able to fill out a staff, and part of that staff has been the reason why they've added some of these veteran players. So it's hard to argue even with that hire to this point. Now we'll see what he does at number two overall at quarterback. That's going to be the biggest move he makes all offseason, obviously. And maybe, if we're being honest, it'll be the biggest move he makes in his first several years as the GM. If he stays long enough, there's probably going to be others that rival it. But in the first contract that he signed here over the first few years, this pick at number two is the biggest decision he'll make. But I'm elated about ownership. I'm excited about the GM. The rest of it, it's the salt and pepper shaker in the middle of the table. Doesn't really matter. It's there or it's not. I got to go grab it because it's by the stove. It's just furniture in the room, man. You got an actual opportunity. So I'm fired up about that. why do I not see them making the playoffs, you're asking, or why am I not more excited about, you know, them making some run nobody sees? Well, number one, you're going to have a rookie quarterback, really hard to do. Number two, right now, their offensive line, to me, is still a major question. Biadasz is okay at center. You've upgraded at guard with Allegretti, but he's been a career backup. So I want to see that to believe it, that he's going to be a dude. You're good at right guard. Your right tackle's bad. And they're not changing that, it doesn't seem like. So that's going to be an area where next season it's not going to be a strength. But right now, between left tackle where you don't have a guy and right tackle where your starter gave up 9 sacks in his first year here last year, and he's now going to play a different offense than the one he was familiar with that he struggled in last year, I don't love that part of their line. It's not ideal with a young quarterback. So I got to get that all sorted out. And I think that while their offseason's been really good and free agency's been smart, this isn't about, you know, they have not added stars. They have not gone and gotten anyone that's a real, true impact Pro Bowl, All-Pro type player. It's just been a lot of guys that are going to help them play a little more consistent average football. Not a knock. Just saying, not a sermon, right? Just an observation. They're basically, I think, trying to incrementally put the fader up a little bit. They're going, we were a 4-win team last year. Now they're a 7-8-win team. And then next offseason's when they're going to start throwing some money at some of the studs, maybe. Mark's in Largo on G&D. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Grant? I think it's possible, but I'm going to tell you what I can see happening. I think they can win 9 to 10 games, and I'm not going to tell you which quarterback they're going to get why. But I think you're overestimating the rest of the division. Dallas, I think, is going to take a step back because they're going to miss the heck out of Dan Quinn. And Philadelphia has the same problem as well, too. Both of those head coaches are on the hot seat. And I don't know what to make of the Giants. That's why I could see if you are to get Jaden Daniels, who, by the way, had the lowest sack record of the three of them with 22 sacks, 29 for Drake May, and 33 for Caleb Williams. Just wanted to throw that out there. I think it's very possible it could happen. I know sacks are a lot to you, Grant. I just wanted you to know that you studied that Drake had 29 and Jaden had 22. Just a little tidbit out there.
Yeah, appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, so I dive into the numbers that the players themselves are responsible for, right? So sacks as a number, while instructive, is not an end-all be-all. As an example, Sam Howell was sacked, you know, X number of times last year, whatever it was, 68 or something crazy, led the NFL. But whatever he was sacked, that doesn't tell you how many are on him, how many are on the line, how many times he could have gotten rid of the ball. So, like, the stat for sacks that I care about more than the number is pressure to sack percentage. Howell in his career, collegiately and in the pros, big, big problem. Daniels, about 25%. May, about 19%. Neither great in that area, but certainly more relevant to me. In other words, I care more about fielding independent pitching than on run average. ERA is a stat correlated with pitchers. FIP takes all the stuff that they didn't have their hand in or that they didn't directly affect out of the equation, and it tells you the true more metric for earn run average for a starting pitcher. And I think pressure to sack percentage, how often did you turn a pressure into a sack? Like, that's a stat I care a whole lot about. But we're getting off tangent. As is typically the case when my guy Mark calls in, he'll answer whatever we ask, but he just wants to say something about Jaden Daniels. That's kind of what he does, which is fine. You're allowed to do that. And you got a couple more months, and then maybe several years if they draft him at number two overall. And if they do, they're getting a Heisman Trophy winner who had 50 touchdowns and 4 picks in the SEC, by the way. Baller. Guy's legit. Question is, what kind of translation are we going to see to the pros? But back to the original topic at hand and the division, I actually liked your point a lot about the division. Maybe the Cowboys do take a step back. It's not just Quinn, remember, but Joe Witt Jr. was their replacement for Quinn that they had planned. He's gone. He's here. They've lost a lot more than they've gained. They really haven't done anything in free agency to this point. And the Eagles, Jalen Hurts did not play well last year. Sneaky little issue they had. Did they fix that by going and getting Kellen Moore? They've got a new coordinator on both sides of the ball. Remember how sour that was at the end of the year? They were a disaster in December down the stretch last season. So it's possible that both the Eagles and the Cowboys come back to the pack. And if that happens, now we got a conversation. Let's get to a double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We got those Fogarty tickets at 4 right here on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, no Danny today. He should be back tomorrow. You are listening to The Fan. We'll get to our double play in just a second. Couple of house cleaning items here on the Commanders. I said I wanted to get into the left tackle spot. We don't have a lot of time here, so I'll just be brief. We could circle back to this later in the show. But they've still done nothing. Right now, this moment, if you look at their depth chart, Braden Daniels, who they drafted in the 4th round last year, kicked inside to guard, would be their starter. And that's just because Charles Leno was cut. Cornelius Lucas hit the market, was not retained. So you're down not only your starter, but your backup at left tackle. I guess they still have Trent Scott, the former Steeler, on the roster under contract as well. He would start over Braden Daniels. So that would be the guy. He was their third tackle last season. I would sign Trent Brown or another one of these veterans near the top of the free agent class. Just like they've been doing with Igbinoghene at corner and any of the other veterans they've brought in, just kind of a placeholder. If you bring in Brown, the problem is you probably pay him like a starter, and maybe that's what they're worried about. But here's why I would do it. Because I would take a tackle in the second round at 36 or 40, and then I would start that guy probably over Wiley at right tackle immediately if they prove that they're good enough. Now I've got Wiley as my swing tackle, or certainly my backup right tackle. And he can play on the interior at guard. And if something happens to Brown, I could kick the rookie over to left tackle, start Wiley at tackle. That would be my plan. I'm not telling you Brown's great, but he won a Super Bowl. He's been a Pro Bowler. He's a starter. 8 out of 11 games last year. 16 out of 17 games in 2022. Every game he played in the 7 years in his career before that. 30 years old. Entering what is going to be year 10 of his career. I don't know why you couldn't get like a 2-year deal done with him. A lot like the Leno contract that you signed to bring him aboard as kind of a mid-tier tackle. And then at least you set yourself up like you've done at every other position to not have to go get a tackle in the draft. If you want to, if the right guy's there, great. But if not, you got a potential starter. I still think they're going to make at least one move at the position. My guess is it's more of a Lucas replacement, swing tackle type on the cheap than a true starter. But it's not like 36 or 40 is generally a great range to get a starting left tackle anyway. That's the part no one's really talking about. Unless you're trying to package picks together to go back up into the first round, you don't normally draft a starting left tackle in the 30s or 40s. You might get a starting right tackle there. That's the one question I have, the one area so far in free agency that's been a little bit curious to me that I don't quite get the plan on, other than it's pretty clear that they're obviously going to address it in the draft. Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers, stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Every now and then I see one of these questions floating around on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter. I just kind of put it in a folder so that I can come back to it to answer later. This is one of those things like if we were at a bonfire, I would bring up with buddies, right? So here's the question that was asked. If you could instantly gain knowledge in one subject, what would it be? And I'm going to alter it to say not only are you gaining knowledge, but you become an expert. In one subject, what would it be? And what I have decided is, if I could instantly gain knowledge in any subject, I think it would be like home repair stuff. Because I'm trying to figure out how can I save myself the most money and just become a better version of the nubber that I am. I was thinking maybe car knowledge, same thing, like fixing a car, but I don't, knock on wood, because now tomorrow I'll call you guys and be like, hey, I'm on the side of the road. I don't think I have enough car problems typically. Like that's a couple time a year. You got to go to the shop. depending on if you got a guy or not, they're probably going to charge you more than you need. You don't even know. It might be a $40, and they're like, $372, man. It's like, wait, what? That's why I go, any tire needs, I go to my guy at Albin Tire over in Springfield. You guys should check out my guy, Keith. But I'm going to say home repair knowledge. This is any kind of just like handyman stuff around my house. Darius, you get to instantly gain knowledge in one subject. Doesn't have to be anything honorable. It can be something shady as well. You can admit to everybody. What would it be?
Something shady. Sheesh. I would have to say something in the realm of like taxes and credit and finance knowledge. Ooh. Is what I would want to do. Because I feel like, you know, had I learned some of that stuff in high school rather than some of the nonsense that we learned in high school, I'd be much better prepared in life right now, you know, for some of that, for some of those adulting type things that I've had to deal with.
Is this your basic financial stuff or more like investment? Are you talking about like balancing a checkbook and just like some of the normal tasks that are needed money-wise?
Yeah. I'm thinking more so basic stuff, but okay. I guess, yeah, it could linger into some more of the, yeah, I think it all goes into the same bucket.
Just like wealth management stuff.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. Wealth management, I think, is where I would want to get instantly better at knowledge of that. That'd be great.
Noble cause. Silly. I like it. Clary, what do you got?
So Toby brought up money laundering, and I was actually kind of thinking of stealing that answer. I think that would be kind of a genius idea, but I'm going to go a different round here. I think if I was like an executive chef or just a top-notch chef, I could cook healthy, enjoyable meals 3 days after, or 3 days.
3 days a week. Wow.
3 days. I mean, that's kind of my schedule right now. I eat out like 4 days of the week.
There's not a full-time job to be had in this city. Yeah, not unless you want to work 40 hours a week.
Yeah. But if I were to do that, I could cook silly meals. I could save money and just have.
And?
No longer go out and save money.
And? Why do you really want to be a great chef?
Because it's silly.
Who are you impressing?
Well, I mean, yeah. There it is. Sure. You could probably impress some people.
A lot less Colony Grill pizza. A lot more come over to my place.
That's
true. You know
what I mean? That is a good point. I could do that. Maybe cook up some fajitas. Maybe cook my own pizza. I could do plenty of those things.
So you're going to go with chef skills.
Chef skills.
The culinary arts.
A culinary expert.
I love that answer.
I do.
Toby, I see you standing in there. You got one before we get out of here?
I think it'd be really cool to be able to fly.
Do you know how badly I wish I could
just
be
just flying all over the place, though?
So you're talking about, like, being a pilot.
Yeah, being a pilot. Because, like, if you could have your own, I mean, I'm not talking superpowers.
Of course.
Like, no, I mean, I wish. You're saying, like, heck, I would take.
You're like you get your own plane. You're just flying wherever you want to go any moment.
Yeah, it'd be really cool.
Hell yeah, it would. That'd be awesome. And if ever it was needed, Toby comes running up to the front of the plane. You're landing this sucker. They asked, I don't remember who it was. There was an NFL player to be at the combine. And they're like, I think it was one of the receivers. It was either Adunze or Neighbors or something. Does anyone remember who it was? Might have been Adunze.
Adunze, I think.
Was it? So they're like, hey, one of the teams asked, I think, like, if we're on a plane and someone says, like, you need to land this thing, would you be able to? And he's like, nope. And his line was, it was, like, sad but funny. He was like, all passengers have perished or something like that. But you need that skill. Toby's got the skill. G&D on the Fan, the Beltway Blitz is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.